discount and for qualifying credit through BCI. Sale price before tax, title, and associated dealer fees. See dealer for details.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, is the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's been one of those days where a lot is going on, but always on a Friday, we like to take a brief pause and talk about movies with our good friend Julio Diaz, who is the host of Let's Go Pensacola on Saturdays here on News Radio and the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook and watch movies with them and then talk about those movies. That's my favorite part of what they do. Julio, welcome back, sir. Good to have you. First movie you watched last night, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth movie in the Mad Max universe, Furiosa?
Yes, that's correct. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga.
Ah.
Full and complete title. Which is an accurate title because this movie is very much a saga. This movie is epic in every sense of the word.
Outstanding. I've loved the whole franchise. Of course, Fury Road was an amazing upgrade and modernization of the universe and the storyline and the effects and everything else. I assume it holds relatively true to what they created with the previous one, which is actually,
yeah,
this is the prequel?
Yeah. I mean, it is a prequel, and it definitely follows Furiosa, who is, obviously the title character. It's interesting because the trailers have really focused on Anya Taylor-Joy in the role. Of course, Charlize Theron played her in Fury Road, which is obviously a younger version of the character. But Anya Taylor-Joy is only in about half the movie. The first half of the movie follows Furiosa as a young girl. So she's played by a young actress, and then as she grows older, then Anya Taylor-Joy takes over the role. Fantastic. It looks like $3 billion, like all of these movies do. All of the more recent movies.
Right.
Let's be honest. The original Mad Max was made for about a buck and a half.
And survived nevertheless.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I was saying to somebody last night as we were walking out of the movie. When the worst movie in your franchise is Beyond Thunderdome, you're doing pretty good. Because Beyond Thunderdome's not a bad flick.
Right. I agreed.
Yeah. Something's got to be the lowest on the totem pole. That's probably the lowest on the totem pole. I would say Fury Road is still a little bit better movie. It's a little bit better story, but this is definitely gripping overall. It goes in directions that you don't think it's going to go in. The action is outstanding. The visuals are incredible. And the performances are great, too, not just Anya Taylor-Joy, but Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Fantastic in this movie. Just fantastic in this movie.
I'm looking forward to that. Well, I'm eager to see it. Super eager to see it. Garfield movie is also out this weekend?
Yeah, that is also something that is happening.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Go on.
You got Garfield in your newspaper every day. We had like 10 years of an animated series that was, pretty well done, actually. The animated series, for what it was, it got to the nature of the character. What doesn't seem to get to the nature of the character to me is sending Garfield and Odie out on a heist on the road.
Okay.
Which is what this, and what also doesn't really click for me is, we don't have to have Chris Pratt voice every single animated character.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That was part of the SAG-AFTRA deal. Is it Chris? No, I hear you.
I like Chris Pratt. I'm a fan of Chris Pratt. But, I don't see it. And apparently the critics don't see it either. 38% on that.
Sight is another movie out this week. Sight?
Yeah, this is a drama about this is based on a true story about young man who escaped communist China, came to the U.S. and became one of the top eye surgeons in the world. And he is operating on this young person who was blinded by one of their parents, and trying to save their sight, and it forces him to confront everything that he went through. Getting okay reviews on this one, running about 65%.
And I'm a little hesitant to ask, but the fourth movie this week is Babes?
Yeah, this is actually the best reviewed movie of the week, believe it or not, even better than Fury Road. Fury Road's doing very well with the critics as well, but this is running well into like the 94% range on Rotten Tomatoes. This is a comedy. It's co-written by Ileana Douglas, I believe is the name, if I remember correctly. She's a comedian's been in a lot of things, but she's also one of the stars of this film. It's directed by Pamela Adlon, who's also a pretty well-known comic actress as well. It's about these two friends. One of them is kind of the wild child, and the other one is kind of the more steady force. And the wild child gets pregnant in a one-night stand and decides to have the baby. And it's, you know, kind of about what all this puts on their friendship. And
okay.
So it's about female friendships and you know, that kind of lifestyle thing. And like I said, fantastic reviews, but apparently very funny.
Outstanding. What are you guys going to watch next week?
Next week, I unfortunately will not be watching anything, for better or for worse. I am going to New York City on a bucket list trip to see the band Madness.
So we'll definitely that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that, but we'll definitely still be talking about movies next week as well. There's not any big releases next week,
okay.
So it kind of works out well, but we'll definitely be talking.
Outstanding. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola on Saturdays here on News Radio and also the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Julio, as always, thank you for the time, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Have a blast at the concert, man.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
It's 8:16 here on News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are coming into Pensacola from Pace or Milton, we are starting to see some traffic building up on Woodbine and Chemulpa at their respective intersections with Highway 90, and seeing some traffic building up on the US 90 bridge, but clearing up as you come into Pensacola. That is, unless you are sticking southbound on Scenic Highway, you can expect to see some traffic built up before Olive Road intersection going back about a half mile, so expect some delays through there. Unclear as to whether we've gotten those traffic lights fixed yet, but just in case we haven't, we had some traffic lights out on W Street. That is at the intersection of W in Fairfield and W in Palafox. Just in case those haven't been resolved yet, please expect some delays through there. You treat them as a four-way stop and drive with caution. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
And feel free to text us an update if you want at 437-1620, whether those lights are on or not. Hey, we got a relatively new advertiser on the show, Pensacola State College, who I am a huge fan. I mean, I knew they did good work from before, but when we had not one but now two kids go through dual enrollment in high school, spend 3 years taking classes at PSC, meeting the instructors, learning how easy they were to work with, having a very, very flexible schedule of course section offerings that is a big advantage, and then going to UWF with a year and a half of college credit under their belt as dual enrolled high school students for no cost because books and courses are free. It's a great resource, seriously. So small class sizes, a great chance to kind of, you know, dip your toe into the university because, you know, they understand that people have different needs and, you know, non-traditional students, very common, and they work very, very well with you. College campuses in Pensacola, Warrenton, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
We see it every day. A guy comes into the men's clinic and guess what? The pills quit working, or they're sick of the side effects. And you know what else we see? Guys not confident in their relationship. At Wave Men's Health, we're the leaders in bedroom confidence. Understanding if you even need ED or low T treatment should be the first step, and the next should be choosing the treatment or treatment combination to build your confidence. Our urologist and physician group is offering professional, modern treatments with success rates as high as 92% and decades of experience. Our doctors are not going to send you an email with what might work for most people. We are results-driven. Concierge. You don't pay for medication. It's included, but you invest in the time it takes to get you where you want to be. We've built an experience with discretion that takes the worry out of going to the doctor. In fact, we've normalized it for guys all over Pensacola. Come see our friendly team in Pensacola and find out why we've been number one in men's health for years. Get a consultation and low-T blood work with results on your first visit for $99. Get your confidence back in the bedroom and beyond. Go to wavemenshealth.com and book your appointment today. Wavemenshealth.com.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from Pinnair Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from Pinnair is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a Pinnair home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at pinnair.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Visit Prim and Proper, the premier destination for unique gifts in Gulf Breeze, specializing in adding that extra touch of thoughtfulness to any occasion with expert engraving services. From elegant monograms to heartfelt messages, they bring visions to life. With a wide selection of gifts for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and more, there's something perfect for everyone. Prim and Proper also excels in corporate, employee, and client gifts that leave lasting impressions. Visit them online at primandproper.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of Pensacola State College students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the summer and fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin. 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
This week, I want to do something a little different. Instead of talking about three separate cancellations, I want to spend extended time learning from the amazing work being done at American Movie Classics Networks to properly warn people about the problematic content of their movies and TV shows. Most recently, AMC adopted the practice of placing a content warning on the movie Goodfellas, which read, "This film includes language and/or cultural stereotypes that are inconsistent with today's standards of inclusion and tolerance and may offend some viewers." Well, it is about time that somebody realized that made men have feelings too. And we celebrate AMC for thoughtfully reminding viewers that movies which portray Italian Americans as racketeering criminals or which disparagingly propagate negative stereotypes about members of the mostly peaceful social club commonly referred to as the Mafia may be unhealthy and mean. Now, some people have objected that this film is a highly accurate portrayal of the life of an actual mobster turned FBI informant named Henry Hill. Well, perhaps. But given the historic marginalization and the many, many microaggressions committed against members of organized crime families, it is important to remind people that mobsters are people too. If you insult them, do they not cry on the inside? And besides, you should always remember your Glichtenberg dogmas on Thought Control Volume 5. Content warnings are not merely about protecting sensitive people from disturbing material. Content warnings are also an essential tool for training a society to second-guess all of its communications and to become afraid to speak freely for fear of offending anyone. A silenced people is a compliant people. Amen. Now, obviously, the movie Goodfellas is filled to overflowing with profanity, drug consumption, and violence, but only the refined sensibilities of the arts mediators at AMC were able to realize that unkind portrayals of the mob were the real menace lurking in this movie, for which we applaud them. However, since AMC shows a wide selection of older films, many of which have problematic elements, we do have some advice for other content warnings they should consider. This is by no means an exhaustive list, but it should help get the trigger alert juices flowing. For The Princess Bride, warning, this film contains negative depictions of Sicilians, giants, magicians, princes, grief-stricken Spaniards, and six-fingered men. However, it does portray at least one pirate in a positive light after the decades-long smear campaign against ship captains who practice non-traditional income strategies. For the movie Alien, warning, this film promotes hostility toward extraterrestrial beings, many of which might well be helpful, friendly, and not frighteningly ferocious killing machines with acid blood and scary ooze-dripping teeth. Even those ETs which have evolved parasitic host-killing reproductive strategies should be studied and understood as they are simply living out their biological imperatives. You can't control whom you infect and rip apart, after all. For Star Wars, if you or anyone you know has ever been dismembered by a handheld laser sword or struck down during an epic battle scene in the hallway of a planet-destroying starbase, this movie may make you uncomfortable. Also, if the deaths of millions of people suddenly crying out in terror and being suddenly silenced might bother you, begin practicing your discomfort avoidance strategies now. This film also depicts cloned humans as stormtroopers, nameless, faceless villains with poor eye-gun coordination who may be slaughtered without consideration. Hardly a healthy way to prepare for the future of manufactured humans. In addition, the cultural depiction of Jawas as schemy, negative, deceptive creatures of below-average height is not kind, and not all Wookiees cheat at board games. As for the various serial shows AMC has created, such as Breaking Bad, Mad Men, Nosferatu, Hell on Wheels, and Into the Badlands, well, certainly many, many content warnings would be appropriate, but we suggest something like the following specifically for The Walking Dead. Warning, this feature contains depictions of negative stereotypes of the involuntarily undead as flesh-rending, virus-spreading, mindless creatures of destruction. Some viewers may find the highly derogatory portrayal of zombies troubling, especially given the repeated use of offensive slurs for them, as if they are a species of subhuman value, including but not limited to walkers, lurkers, creepers, biters, roamers, skinbags, floaters, geeks, chompers, rotters, lame-brained, stinkers, freaks, and meat puppets. Civilized people should know better than to engage in such slurs for the recently reincarnated undead who are experiencing a transition in their alive status. As you can tell, we have much work ahead of us before the world is truly safe for watching television and movies, but the fine truth moderators at AMC are leading the way by reminding us that not all good fellas are bad fellas. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please take a moment to congratulate young Herschel Stoudemire, who was recently promoted to Junior Cancel Police Second Class after he reported on two classmates making positive comments about the physical beauty of a female companion, specifically her cute new hairdo. I know, it's difficult to hear. Even though the young woman seemed pleased by the remarks and subsequently gave both boys a hug, Herschel knew better than to take this incident at face value. He has been properly taught that girls must learn to be offended as offended by boys liking to look at them as adult feminists are by no one liking to look at them. As a result of good training, he rushed straight to the Virtue Monitor's office and filed a report. Both boys and the girl will now undergo yellow-level re-education, and Mr. Stoudemire will have 0.5 point added to his high school GPA for outstanding cultural improvement. Refreshments this week are provided by Fiddlesticks, repurposing used horsehair from violin bows as inedible dietary fiber. Just sprinkle a teaspoon of finely ground former bowstrings over your soup or salad, and let the healing follicular dust start doing its work. Fiddlesticks, a symphony of flavorless health in every bottle. Important note, this product does not taste like virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
827 here on News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy has got traffic on the fives.
We just have a couple traffic lights out in Pensacola. Unclear as to whether those have been resolved, but earlier they were out, so I'm just going to repeat them in case. On W Street, at the intersections of W Street in Fairfield and W Street in Palafox, those lights were completely out earlier today. So just in case they are still dealing with those, approach those with caution. Treat them as four-way stops. And if you were coming in from Pace or Milton, we can see a lot of traffic building up on US 90 as you approach the Chemukla Highway intersection, clearing up as you get onto the US 90 bridge into Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulkway Service is now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. If you're thinking about buying or selling a house, Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty will take great care of you. And, you know, when the market was super hot, they were great at maximizing your sale price. But now when the market is not as hot, they're still great at it because now more than ever, you need somebody who really understands how to stage it, how to photograph it, how to list it, how to price it. You know, how to do an open house, how to follow up, like all the things, the little things that she does that she loves to do, that she believes in, that really work because they've got this formula for selling houses. Buying houses, same thing. They know how to get you the best price possible. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Barack Obama was a surprise guest at President Biden's state dinner in honor of Kenya yesterday. Obama's father, born in Kenya, although Obama was not on the guest list officially for last night's event, which was held at the South Lawn of the White House. Over 500 people were there. Andrew, you
did they have that problem where when Barack Obama showed up, everybody wanted to talk to him and not the president, and he had to sit in the back and kind of look despondent about it because that happened before?
I don't know, but there's a good possibility. Andrew, you've got dogs, don't you?
Yep, two.
Okay, well, perhaps you'd like to send him on a nice trip to, say, Paris.
Go on. Probably not.
Well, if you did.
Humans first.
If you did, you could send them on the first airline specifically for dogs called Bark Air. Apparently, they're launching that this week. And a domestic flight is only $6,000 to go to between New York and L.A. $8,000 if you want to go international. You do get a ride with
this
the dog.
I was going to say, it's not just for the dog. This is like a dog-friendly airline. So this
it is
for,
right? You would get to go with the dog.
I see. I accompany the dog on right. their flight.
Yeah, and they've got treats.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Donald Trump making a big play for New York with a rally in the Bronx that swelled to 25,000 people.
We're going to bring safety back to our streets. We're going to bring success back to our schools. We're going to bring prosperity back to every neighborhood and every borough of the greatest city in our land.
No love from the Democrat establishment, as New York Governor Kathy Hochul told a cable news anchor who's hosting the debates.
I'll tell you, it won't make a difference at all, Jake, and that is for Donald Trump to be the ringleader of a and invite all his clowns to a place like the Bronx. New York will never, ever support Donald Trump.
A Democrat governor taking heat for calling her own constituents clowns. For the holiday getaway, gas prices $3.51 a gallon, says Gas Buddy. But fast food inflation, a Big Mac, now averages $8.29. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 78 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. Well, Pensacola Beach lifeguards are now stationed in Perdido Key. Escambia County Public Safety says that started yesterday, and through August 11th, those lifeguards will be stationed at Perdido's Public Access Number 2. They'll be there each day between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. In addition, there will be a roving lifeguard traveling between Perdido's public accesses 1, 3, and 4 that will monitor water conditions and make contact with beachgoers.
Where to swim, here's the sandbars, here's the currents, here's the conditions for the day. And you have to have a physical presence to do that, right? There's only so much that signs and flags can do.
Alex Johnson is the deputy beach safety chief, and people swimming in Perdido are encouraged to stay near those lifeguards if it's possible for them. Well, traffic yesterday headed to Gulf Shores in Alabama was a little bit smoother, as all those $5 tolls on the Foley Beach Express were eliminated yesterday at noon. Neil Belitsky is the president of the Baldwin County Bridge Company. They sold the bridge to the state of Alabama.
We have 35 people that are basically not going to be with us after today. And so we have about five people that are going to be staying with us for a couple of months. It's a bittersweet day for all of us.
The Alabama Department of Transportation now says their next step is going to be to demolish that toll plaza. And they believe that could be done as soon as mid-June. Well, another sure sign of summer, the Santa Rosa Island Authority's trolley service is back on Pensacola Beach. The open-air trolley starts today. It'll run daily 4 p.m. to midnight through Labor Day Monday. The three trolleys will be running concurrently on separate routes. The eastern route running from Casino Beach to Portofino, western route from Casino Beach to Park West, and the commercial core route, which runs from Casino Beach to the Grand Marlin, with several stops along the way. And the service is free to all riders there, and a great way to help alleviate congestion by allowing visitors to park anywhere they want and catch a ride. The period dubbed the 100 Deadly Days of Summer due to a spike in fatal crashes among teen drivers begins on Memorial Day. And looking at statistics from last year, Florida's Attorney General Ashley Moody says the name fits.
So that's 83 deaths, 6 deaths per week involving teens and crashes right here in Florida during these summer days.
Moody says every parent should talk to their kids about being safe if they're driving this summer. It warned them about the dangers of distracted driving, having friends in the car, and also the importance of making sure they are wearing their seat belts. There could be a lot of traffic over the weekend. AAA announcing yesterday they are expecting 2.5 million people to travel at least 50 miles for their Memorial Day celebrations. That would break a record that was actually set last year. Nationally, AAA projecting this should be the second highest traveled Memorial Day weekend ever on record. It is 8:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy with our traffic on the fives.
If you are coming into Pensacola from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you can expect to see a little bit of a slowdown right before and after the Avalon Boulevard intersection, but clearing up as you approach the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve and clear over the 3 mile bridge into Pensacola. If you are traveling north or southbound on Pace Boulevard, we are seeing a lot of traffic building up in that area, specifically building up on the intersection with West Fairfield Drive. And coming in from Pace and Milton, we are seeing some slowdowns on US 90 as you cross that bridge. That, I believe, is due to a vehicle crash that was prevalent there earlier. No roadblock, but still slowing down traffic a little bit. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Allstate. Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not one based on anyone else. Visit allstate.com or call for a quote today. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies, high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74 degrees. Keeping that nice weather around as we head into Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, plenty of sunshine, high near 88. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 74. For Sunday, high near 87 and a low near 76. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 78 in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. Your money now. This morning, the markets are up a little bit anyway. The Dow's up 91 points at 39,157.24. S&P 500 up 21.87 at 52,89.71. NASDAQ up 74.87 at 16,810.90. 10-year bond rate today up slightly at 4.49%. Gold prices up $7, $23.44.20. Silver prices up a quarter at $30.71. And Bitcoin down $52.32 at $67,257.92. The House is passing legislation barring the Federal Reserve from issuing a digital currency.
The measure passed almost completely along partisan lines, with Republicans voting in favor. The move is symbolic as of now, since the Fed hasn't announced any plans to issue a digital dollar and has said it wouldn't move forward without congressional approval. But Republicans, including former President Trump, have discussed worries about potential government misuse of a digital currency. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The U.S. government suing Live Nation, the parent company of Ticketmaster. The Department of Justice filed an antitrust lawsuit on Thursday looking to break up the company. Attorney General Merrick Garland said the government alleges that Live Nation, quote, relies on unlawful, anti-competitive conduct to exercise its monopolistic control over the live events industry. And people looking to order Jeep's first all-electric vehicle can make a reservation starting May 31st. It's the new Wagoneer S, expected to be available in the fall ahead of the all-electric Jeep Recon. The Wagoneer S featuring a range of about 300 miles and 600 horsepower. 8:38, your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
News Radio Pensacola has just received another major award thanks to you, our listeners. This time, it's the prestigious 2024 Crystal Award from the National Association of Broadcasters, where representatives of the broadcast industry, community service organizations, and public relations firms chose the top 10 radio stations in America, including News Radio Pensacola, to receive the Crystal Award for our exceptional year-round commitment to community service. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
To the hip, hop, the hibbit, hip, 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 hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's a chance for us to talk about the news of the week or other things that we think are going to be interesting with a couple of friends here in studio with me. In this case, I've got Jonathan Owens, a many-time participant. I appreciate you coming back in, Jonathan.
Good morning.
Always good to have you. Scott Salas, who is a principal at Dalrymple Salas. He's an architect by trade and a really great guy and a friend. And also, this is your second time, I think, on the wrap.
Glad to be back. Thanks.
Very good. Just one politics thing. I'm not going to do too much politics today, which ought to be a little bit different. But the District 4 vacancy. We've been talking about this today. The county commission pushed on the beach lighting ordinance because there's no D4 representative. They pushed on the boat ramp ordinance because there's no D4 representative. Not being able to do the business because you don't have a representative to me is a problem. Doing business without a representative is as much a problem because you have people making decisions about things without input from the relevant district. You got the folks in Finley Drive and JoJo. Those folks are trying to stop something from happening in their backyard that they don't have a representative on the board. You know, we just had a sort of forum with the District 4 candidates with them, and, you know, they don't have somebody that can speak for them. I will just, before we get to questions for you guys, I just yesterday got the list from the governor's office of the applicants. Mayling Davis, Gregory Hodges, Ashley Hoffberger, Stan Daniels, Buck Sexton, he's a radio host. Buck Mitchell. It's funny because they kept calling him Buck Lee in the forum. Gene Valentino kept calling him Buck Lee, which was funny. Jared Moore, Chase Romagnano, Boyce White, and Walker Wilson and Brian Wire are the people who have applied for the job. So that's the finally we got after 4 months of asking. We finally got the list, or 3 months of asking. So that's good. But does it matter that much, Jonathan?
This close to the election, I don't think it does. You're 90 days away from the primary, right?
Right.
Who's going to make the decision on who is actually going to sit in that seat for the next 4 years?
August 20?
Yeah, 20.
August 20?
Yeah,
forget.
It's August 20,
I think it's 20
actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, do you put somebody in there for them to get their feet wet and then that not be the elected person that's coming in?
Because the learning curve is so big.
Right. I mean, I was there with, you know, Doug for 8 years, and the first, you know, 120 days, you're, you know, trying to figure out where the bathrooms and the exits are. I mean, much less making policy or decisions on policy that affect the entire county, right? Because you're one vote to affect everything in the whole county. So I think at this point we just wait and just let the people decide who's going to be their representative for District 4.
We went through this before after Elvin McCorvey died, and it was like 10 months to get somebody on ECUA. And I thought, that's ridiculous. The governor just appointed somebody 1 month after there was a death in the county. But some counties are not Escambia County with our politics and our difference of opinion and our who's backing which candidate and all of that kind of stuff.
We've got 15 minutes, man. We can't talk about all the reasons for all that. So let's move on and let's talk about some fun stuff.
Scott, you live in District 4?
Yeah.
Does it bother you?
No, I tend to agree. I think 90 days is hard for government to accomplish anything. And I'm really excited about the incredibly long list of people running. And there's probably 6 or 7 people on that list that are friends or acquaintances of mine. And I support all of them. And I tend to believe that, and I may be wrong, this is my personal opinion, my little bias, but if somebody was appointed, voters tend to believe they have an edge.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like this, even 90 days, no big deal. Let's tap into this plethora of people who really want to serve their community. It's been a long time that I can think of any office where people of that caliber have lined up in such a long line. So I'm excited about that.
I will say this at this point, to your point, Jonathan, at this point, I could see the governor waiting until the primary and then appointing the winner of the Republican
the winner
primary.
Of the race, right.
Yeah, because obviously they're going to, we assume, would be winning the general election, but also for political purposes, you know, they'd be running against Ed Helms, the Democrat in the case. To other matters, we bike all over the place, and we see a lot of different ways of doing things, right? We see a lot of different ways of doing subdivisions. We see a lot of different ways of doing sidewalks and parks and just all of it. And one of the things that caught my attention is in Baldwin County, they do not have a requirement that your retention ponds have fences around them. And we do. And our retention ponds are horribly, beastly, awful, ugly, disgusting eyesores. And in Baldwin County, most of the time, their retention ponds are either just there or their amenities, their features. They put fountains in their retention ponds. They build subdivisions around their retention ponds. They're centerpieces of their new developments. Scott, why? Why do we have to have ugly, horrible chain link fence?
Yeah. Well, I love the question. Retention ponds are a little more complicated than people want to make them. It seemingly just dig a hole and make it beautiful. But what is called in the business wet ponds, like Admiral Mason Park and countless others that always have water in them and can aerate and have fountains, those are, of course, more expensive. But they're also hard to come by, and there are many situations where the soil conditions or just the elevation, you know, the condition of the site physically can't have a wet pond.
Interesting.
And I'm not so sure. I would have to talk to all of my civil engineers, but I'm not so sure we've changed the rules locally about fencing retention ponds. I can, and I'm in full agreement with you. I hate fencing, and I hope we can find a way around it.
In some subdivisions, they've turned them into like canal systems.
Yeah.
So everybody's got water. It's kind of cool.
In the past, the fence was required when the slope was so severe, and that
like a risk of a fall,
kids falling in
sure.
It doesn't make me a fan of the rule by any means, but. And sadly, that's a result of, I don't have enough land, and so I have to comply with these rain regulations. Oh, and guess what? We just had a flood, so now they've increased the requirement.
From 25 to
100.
So
the only way that I can put the building I need and meet my parking requirements they're making me abide in is to dig a hole to China.
Yeah.
And that can kind of become a little dangerous. And so
like we're seeing behind like West Florida Hospital right now, for example.
The quick governmental solution is like fence it up, we're good.
Yeah.
So but I'm all in. I would love much more conversations, and I I'm not so sure that is in place still. The requirement for chain link on all ponds, I'm not so sure is the case. And I hope it to be, and there's many solutions of typically unless you're in that scenario, like we just don't have any land. And you can resolve retention in many ways. It's always everything that's not the scary pond with a fence, of course, costs more. And that's why you can bury retention. You can put it under a parking lot and that's very costly. But that's kind of the big picture of it.
We'll come back to this in just a second. We'll do a quick traffic break. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you're coming into Pensacola from Gulf Breeze or Navarre, you can expect to see a little bit of traffic building up from Avalon Boulevard all the way to the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve, but clearing up as you approach the 3 Mile Bridge and clear over the bridge into town. And Pace and Milton, seeing some slowdowns on the US 90 bridge this morning, but clearing up as you get into Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Somebody also texted and said that a lot of the retention ponds in Escambia County were afterthoughts. They weren't original design, whereas in Baldwin County, they're building the subdivisions around the water features, which means that they can design for them. Maybe have the lower angle slope, like you were talking about, so they're less of a hazard potentially.
I'll quickly say the best thing government can do about retention ponds is allow us to share them. Because right now the code's like, your
keep
property,
all the water on your property.
Yes, yes. And Admiral Mason Park is a perfect example of how they allowed it's shared, basically.
Multiple different subdivisions or communities might pour in there.
It meets the requirements for required retention for all the land from the water to the Waffle House and the Tech Park. And we need much more solutions like that.
And by the way, I also love your distinction about wet versus dry, you know, and whether that really works. Jonathan, you were, you know, in District 2 back in the day, you dealt with a lot of flooding issues. Your thoughts about, I mean, I see it from a beautification standpoint. I just, when we ride around, I think, man, that's cool. I like it. And when I ride around here, I think a lot, that's not so cool. I don't like it.
Yeah. Chandelle subdivisions, fine example of a retention pond, which they call the lakes of Chandelle, or even Lake Charlene. I mean, that was a clay pit before it got developed into a neighborhood. There's no fences around that. Mm-hmm. There's houses around that. So, I mean, that design even goes back into the 90s and 2000s, where the fences weren't required around the what's a hole in the ground, as Scott and I are familiar with. independent. I could think of a terrible retention pond. It's right off of Gulf Beach Highway at the auto parts store. I mean, it's literally seawall.
Yeah.
You know, with a fence around it. And if you go look inside of it, it's overgrown, not maintained, and it's full of trash.
And they're usually, those ones, that my experience, those ones are usually dry.
Right. Yeah,
they're usually dry. It's the ones typically you see them by a like a restaurant has built where they've had to have it, or you know they're trying to fit it into a space. I think of the one by the church on Palafox, Old Palafox. That all of those where they're certainly not an amenity. Also, probably something you ought to have a fence around because of the vertical wall. Right,
right, right.
It's also problematic because they are all again designed independently.
Right, because right? there's no shared access to them.
You got a property, you've got a development. We're going to put a building on. I got to meet them. It's time to do retention, and you take care of it only within your property. And there is no requirement for the engineer to say, well, but what about all the surrounding property? Is it higher than mine and going to dump water, even though they're not supposed to, but is it in reality going to put water here? So you can fully design a retention pond in complete compliance with the code
and it not work.
Problematic.
Right.
At the same time, you can do the same and it never have a drop in it.
Mm-hmm. But you had to follow the rule.
On your property.
Right.
So to have a more collective design criteria for retention ponds and, of course, then, like I said earlier, share them is really something I think I would love to see the powers that be allow.
I think the reason why I was successful with Admiral Mason Park, which you were talking about, is because it's inside a municipality, right? I mean,
correct.
You're inside the city of Pensacola, and that decision was made to, hey, you need to have a comprehensive stormwater plan. Escambia County does not have that. And we have such a, Escambia County has such a diverse, soils here. It's not easy and it's not sexy, right? It's not something that people want to like talk about. Oh, great. We're building a new park, those types of things. It's just the minutiae of what government should be kind of regulating. It's not exciting, but I agree with you. It's something that needs to be done here in Escambia County, as Santa Rosa as well, all along the panhandle here.
And when it's done well, when like all those little dumb, never going to make a headline in the newspaper kind of things are done well, it collectively creates a really nice place to live.
Quality of place.
Yeah.
Right?
And you know, I'll give you just another dumb little example. The drain covers, the manhole covers in Baldwin County, for the most part, are all decorative.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
New Orleans.
If you're driving in your car, you don't notice. But if you're on the street, you see, oh, there's a ship on that one or there's a tree on that one. It's not just storm sewer. You know, like, and to me, that's kind of. And granted, they're a newer community, okay, so they can, you know, they can do stuff that maybe, in a sense, Pensacola's too old to have done right the first time or the third time or the 15th time. But to me, that's what I notice is a lot of attention to little details. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of, it's one of my favorite stories is the apple farmer gets his two boys out there and he gives them the giant pile of apples and he says, I want you to sort the apples in the small ones and the big ones. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when he comes back, he pushes the two piles back together and they say, what are you doing? He says, well, what's that third pile over there? They say, well, those are all the rotten ones. He's like, I knew if you were looking at small and big, you'd automatically reject the rotten ones. When we're focusing on things like manhole cover design or retention ponds,
you
and
see other things,
everything else just kind of gets taken care of too. And you don't do so many dumb things. I don't know. On a slightly different note, this came up in the conversation at the District 4 forum the other day, but it's something that I have asked myself is when we have zoning changes, I see this in Milton and Santa Rosa and Escambia. Walker Wilson said it happens at the planning board all the time. Pensacola, somebody wants to upzone a parcel because they want to do a particular project. So they've got to get an approval to change the zoning. The neighbors come and the commission or the council almost always say something like the following. We like this project, but we're worried that if we approve the zoning change, maybe you don't wind up doing this project and then something else that the zoning allows comes in and the broad category of the zoning would be really inclusive of things we definitely don't want that change the nature of the neighborhood. Why can't we do contingent zoning? Why can't we say the approval is for this project? It's going to upzone for this project or for a duration or for something instead of just, well, tough. We got to accept the change and whatever comes with it, even if it's not this one thing we like.
I think we can. I think, or we can't. You're right. I think we should.
Because it's spot zoning, right? I mean, it's prohibited.
They would call it spot zoning.
But we call it something else and get it passed.
Form-based code would help if, Okay.
Form-based code.
What is that? Tell people what that means.
Well, it's,
Scott, that's you, buddy.
Yeah, it's quite simple, actually. It's just more about intent and use, and than it is very specific. Thou shalt not have a flower shop here. You know, it's just it's much, a much more broad and collective look at zoning. It's simple to me. The people who really know the definition are quite disappointed in that explanation.
Yes,
but I would. You'll be getting tested later.
The DPZs of the world, or any master planner is like, well, that was a terrible description. Yeah,
correct. But it's
simple, right? I mean,
yeah.
But it does seem like we get caught in this. Man, we'd love to see the thing you're presenting us with, but we don't really want the risk that comes with approving the zoning that we've artificially created a category that we have to allow for if we're going to allow your thing.
Zoning is very, very hard. And most jurisdictions in our area have what's called cumulative zoning, meaning you start the bottom, if you will, is residential. Like hear me out, because you're going to be like, wait, what?
But the bottom is residential.
It's good. It's good.
Right, and then what kind of residential? Well, this kind, and then everything residential is in can now be in this all residential, and then everything that residential is in can now be in residential and commercial, mm-hmm. and everything that's in can be in the next step until you get to like nuclear plants, right? Industrial, so you can kind of live anywhere in a zone. It's cumulative zoning, and so it's just depending on the where you are in that chain of hierarchy of how you've accumulated occupancy.
Everything to this point includes everything prior to this
correct
point.
Okay, and that's the way it is both in the city and the county, mm-hmm. and both counties. So what I see happen often is when people have not in my backyard issues with something.
NIMBY.
All the time.
They are very ignorant to what the code allows the mm-hmm. property to have. Mm-hmm. And so I have on occasion had clients that want to do a project that, you know, we might say is controversial, 50-50. So there might be 50% of the people think this is the greatest thing ever. Yep. I can't get it fast enough. And then there's another half out there like, are you out of your mind? I do not want that around. And the code very much allows it.
Right.
So I wouldn't be bringing anything forward.
You don't have
for
to request permission.
Correct.
You're allowed. It's
an
allowed entitlement. Right.
And we're just, it's typically when it's in a public forum like that, it's because it needs aesthetic approval. I work really, really hard to not bring variances before. Variances are me going before the public forum forever saying, as a designer, I'm incapable of finding a solution within the rules. May I have an exception to the rules?
Hey, and hang on for just a second.
Oh, it's traffic.
I want to make sure and get traffic in here. I've waited too long already. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I gotcha. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze, if you're coming into Pensacola from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you can expect to see a little bit of a slowdown right before you approach the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve, and building up a little bit right before the 3 Mile Bridge, but clear over the bridge into Pensacola. Seeing a lot of traffic just building up all over downtown Pensacola, so just drive with caution if you're traveling downtown this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. All right, back to you, Scott.
So you're saying, hey, as a designer, when I'm asking for a variance, I'm like, I'm incapable of finding a solution within the rules.
Yeah.
I need an exception to the rules. And if you grant me this exception, and every neighbor around in this neighborhood was given the same privilege / exception, would it be okay? Mm-hmm. That's a very hard hardship to argue.
Agreed.
And it often is not. Most of the time, variances are not granted, and I work hard to not ask for them.
Especially given what I think is a very reasonable point, that neighbors buy expecting these limits.
Correct.
And if any of them don't want the limit, they're well within their rights to say,
absolutely,
no, that's why I bought what we've got.
Yep. But occasionally, we get something completely compliant, mm-hmm. no variances required, just need aesthetic approval. And there are a lot of people against the project because they just don't want the project.
Yeah. They use the aesthetic objection because they're against the thing.
Right. And I caution those people. And I see that often. I think there was a developer on Navarre who wanted to bring an RV park to Navarre Beach, right? And everyone, when they it finally
no,
got
now
to a public
get condos.
Forum, they did. They right, right, exactly. They're like, well, be careful what you ask for, because right, you get, right. And they're like, well, no, we really don't want that either. Well, I see that in small neighborhoods as well. I don't want this business. Well, I don't even want the house. The house is too tall. Well, you could, they could easily put something that no one would like.
See, we solved all the issues.
Yeah.
We solved it all.
Know the allowances. Know the occupancies allowed before you complain.
And look at these things before you buy. Look at the surrounding
look at the
area.
Neighboring
look
properties
at who owns
and zoning
what,
classifications.
Look at, yeah, all of that. Because I know
check soils,
people
get
don't.
A realtor before you
hire
buy the property.
There you go. Scott and Jonathan, thanks for the time.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.